One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
I am not throwing away my shot. Hey, yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot. I'ma get a scholarship to King's College. I probably should.
Hello and welcome back to the Second Shot Podcast. I'm Howling Wolf George Dunn.
And I'm Douche Boy.
D-Boy
is short for Douche Boy.
How are you, Devin? I haven't seen you in a little while.
I know. We haven't done this in like a month or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, but everybody doesn't like know that. So yeah. We didn't need to say that part. I could have just said, I haven't seen you.
No, it's kind of exciting because it's like now we're farm to table. We're going to record this, get it out.
Until I get drunk one night and forget to do it. Like I have been doing for the last few, but I've had backups, so it didn't matter.
Well, at least we're recording early today with John Dick Winters, and you have all day to edit it.
It's true. I do have all day to get drunk and forget about it. Did you do anything fun in the last few weeks? Well, I haven't seen you.
It was a pretty good month.
Obviously,
of July.
You haven't been hanging out with me, so I mean,
I haven't been hanging out with like anyone. I've been busy working. Been hanging out with Claire and the kid, like going to the beach a bunch, enjoying the summer. And last week I did hang out with Sheer and Jordan from Let the Hate Flow Through You.
What's that?
The podcast that.
What's a podcast? No.
I'm not even going to entertain you. it's basically a show. I am going to entertain you. It's basically a show where Jordan and Jeremy copy off our idea retroactively.
They fucking stole from us again?
Again. No.
They steal our dynamic.
They came first.
They steal all our heavily using of cunt.
We second shot first. Sorry, I'm slurring my words with all this Dr. Pepper in my mouth.
Comic book Dr. Pepper.
But, yeah, it's weird. I don't know why it's like that. I went to see their show at the Bop Stop.
I forgot about that. How was that?
It was really good. They did, like, a cool, like, trivia game and had, like, an interview segment with them where they just sucked each other's cocks for a while.
That sounds about right.
But it was good. Giordano got on stage for the first time in quite some time, and he did really well. I thought he did really well. And Sheer killed it, and then Schizo Bill was there.
Schizo Bill's fucking funny.
Brought the whole house down. Schizo Bill kills it every time.
Yeah.
He's hilarious. Do you know Schizo Bill?
Well, it's funny that you bring him up, because my only interaction with him was last night at Barrio.
And
I don't doubt that he kills all the time, but last night at Barrio, it was just 30 horrified white people.
I mean,
that he was yelling at.
Oh, that's amazing.
He's a little hard to like get at first.
I understand that he probably is a comic who needs a little bit of context, and if you see him once or twice, then you get it. But if you just like are eating a taco, then all of a sudden this middle-aged man is yelling at you.
And then kind of wobbling between each joke.
Yeah. He did on I'd never met him before, and we didn't actually officially meet, but I closed the Barrio last night, and as he was walking out, we passed each other, and he said, "Would you like a stress ball?"
Oh, yeah.
And I said, "No, thank you."
He's roped me into one of those.
I think I got one for free, which I feel bad about, which is the first time I saw him was at Barrio a couple years ago. And
does he sell those?
He sells them after the show.
Oh, did you get one for free as well? You didn't.
Mention money.
Oh, he didn't. Well,
He'll do the like the crackhead thing where he'll hand it to you. He's like, all right, it's $3.
People don't like you said, people are terrified at first. They don't understand that this dude is literally schizophrenic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And once you get that and then you get past that, you realize how, like,
he's generally harmless.
He's harmless, and he is so talented.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But anyway.
He's a good weirdo.
Yeah.
I like weirdos. So yes, we have John Dick Winters on, that lovely voice you just heard, talking about Schizo Bill.
I was just on to let the hate flow through you.
Oh yeah?
I didn't know that you guys had such a rivalry with those.
Yeah, it's Devin's family, according to Jordan.
Yeah, he's my family.
Yeah, just I mean, I don't know much about their podcast or your podcast, just by looking at you just with my eyes, you're both doing better than they are.
Looks can deceive, John Dick Winters.
I guess.
On the inside, no.
I don't know if they can deceive that much. Because Jeremy and Jordan, just by glancing at them, you're like, you guys have been through some things.
They've been through some shit.
Those guys are made for podcasting.
Oh, yeah. How did this even start? We have this comedy beef where, like,
Jordan started it. Jordan started like saying I was stealing his podcast. I'm you fucking liar.
Well, I said that to you when we first started. I was like, this kind of sounds like that, but
they stole it from us.
It's like the bizarro version of it.
I don't think they're similar. I mean, I understand what you are, but I think they're completely different premises.
No, they're definitely
different. They say that too.
It's like, a fake beef.
Yeah, we have fun, but really we hate them. we hope they die.
Yeah, really, pretty much.
Yeah, don't argue over which one of you is less original. You're both very unoriginal.
We're equally as unoriginal. Yeah,
it's just another podcast.
20-somethings with a podcast.
Yeah. No one here is breaking the mold, me included.
what's been going on with you, George, man?
Oh, just a shit sandwich of life, you know. I honestly have not been doing anything. I've been working, trying to find a new job, and playing video games, and I've been rewatching Breaking Bad.
That sounds terrible.
It's the worst. No, I haven't. It's the middle of summer. I want to go to the beach, but I haven't left the house.
Yeah,
like,
I understand that.
I've been rewatching Breaking Bad, so there's that. Nice, I guess. Nice. I haven't watched it since it ended. So
I need to rewatch it. I heard Cranston's going to be on the new season of Curb.
Oh, really?
As his therapist. So I'm really looking forward to. Some
I keep
more
forgetting
Cranston,
there's a new
some
season
comedic
of Thurb,
Cranston.
Thurb coming out.
Yes.
I'm calling it Thurb now. Thurb, I never really watched it.
You serious?
I never liked Seinfeld. I think it's better than Seinfeld, but like.
We're doing that episode. You're just
that's fine. I mean, I don't hate it. You know, I have nothing against it. It's just not my thing.
It should be. It should be everybody's thing.
I doubt
what
that.
Awkward Jews should it be everybody's thing? awkward Jews.
I'm trying to end.
Yeah, I should like it. I like Woody Allen.
Semitism.
And I'm like at that point where I'm like, am I allowed to like Woody Allen? It's like, yeah, I still like.
Maybe you like Woody Allen for the wrong reasons.
That's true. That's 100%.
Larry David, are you familiar with his stand-up career at all? Or
I've never heard his stand-up. But.
Well, no, that's not the part to be familiar with. He was like a legend in the 70s and 80s when he was coming up at the like, Comedy Store in LA because he would get mad all the time and just leave. In the middle of it, like if one joke didn't hit, he would just start yelling and have a meltdown on stage and then leave. And that happened all the time.
It's so funny. Amazing.
He was amongst his comedian friends. That's what he was best known for was his meltdowns, where he just couldn't handle like any audience rejection whatsoever. And if you have that context when you watch his show, I think it makes it a lot better because his neuroses, like, it's just so purely him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love it.
It's amazing. I'd almost rather do that than to just like be sad about it and brood in a corner the rest of the night like I usually do.
Well, I just don't ever bomb. You ever tried that before?
That's true. Devin,
I've tried it once or twice.
You should just try being good.
Yeah, I just fucking crush.
It's like crush it every time.
Comedy's like Dark Souls. You just got to get good and be fine.
Bombing is so important.
Yeah, I've learned a lot from bombing. And by that, I mean that's all I've ever done.
Bombing, you don't have to start over from the beginning.
I learned so much that I don't do it anymore. Comedy, that is, not bombing.
I learned to quit.
I just stopped doing comedy. That's what you learn. So many people don't even learn that.
That's true.
There's so many comedians that I know have been doing it 6, 7, 8 years, and they're just still not good.
Yeah.
Like, just never got it, which is, you know, that's going to happen. But those people should drop out. But no, they're just hanging on for dear. It's amazing. Oh, yeah. I almost respect their
it's hard not to
delusion and their lack of like awareness. It's almost respectable.
And I feel like to do it, you really just have to come to terms with everything about your life that you're just like that maybe you've tried to change or hide or make like pretty much just like embellish and I don't know, like just tell your story and be you and figure it out and do it.
I think it takes a special kind of person to be a bad comic, in the sense of, like, you have to not be able to be honest with yourself at any point in your life.
I don't know what barrier, like, you have to put up to it's not only just being bad, because that's one thing, but to be bad in the same way for a long period of time, like, not even adjusting.
Not even changing.
And you, like, it's interesting, because we all, you know, you go up and you do something wrong or bad and no one likes it. Then you go up and you do it differently and you try to figure it out and see how it could work. But then you see comedians who just don't do that. They just go up and just do it the same way because they're not capable of considering doing it a different way. It's fascinating.
I mean, I had those moments where I'm like, oh no, it's just the way, it's just the audience. It's just this. You start to learn, like, after a while, it's like, oh no, I just suck at telling this story this way.
Well, something that's helped me a lot in my career is that I never blame the audience. Even if it is the audience, I just never blame the audience. It's a mindset that I don't have, because it helps me. Whenever something goes bad, I always just try to blame myself, because there's always something to be learned from it. But, like, yeah, people who just go up and just tell the same whatever joke over and over and over again, and it never works, and they're just like, I don't get it. It's like, what is it to not get?
It's like, how can I win this specific audience this night? It's a different contender every night.
It's like getting a girl. You keep saying the same thing, and it never happens. You've got to learn a new trick or two. I don't know.
And
I don't meet girls that much. So.
Except with meeting girls, you blame them. Never blame yourself.
Always blame them. It's always their fault. Well, we have you on, John, for you're coming on to essentially defend to at least one of us. We'll find out who. non-monogamy.
Am I defending it against the one of you? I thought I was just talking about something that culture doesn't agree with a lot. I can defend it. I'll argue with either one of you. I don't give a shit.
I mean, our dynamic can go either way.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know what Devin's stance is on it.
I guess we'll get into it, but basically, I feel like you have your affinity toward it, or some kind of...
Yeah, affinity is definitely... I don't know if I have an affinity towards it as much as it's just like it's an absolute necessity in my life. Okay. Like, and that hasn't always been the case. It's something that's been evolving for years. But, like, I believe that monogamy is a social construct. I believe that love and monogamy are completely different things. I think that we as humans... We have this higher ability to emote or feel emotions, and we confuse that with, like, we think we can only emote for one person or have emotions towards one person. And also, just because of movies and books and pop culture, we have this very warped idea of what love is. Mm-hmm. We have this extremely warped idea, this concept of that there's one person, which is mathematically insane. There could obviously be many people. Most people over a lifetime will fall in love many times or whatever. And that in and of itself proves that the idea that there's one person for everybody is insane. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you find this one person that you love, or you find a partner that's amazing, that's great. But to say that there's one person, the concept that there's one person for everybody is a fallacy that we've all been, like, tricked into, because it makes a good story. Mm-hmm. It makes a great story.
Yeah.
You know, I love a good old Jimmy Fallon, Drew Barrymore movie just as much as the next guy.
Everybody loves that movie.
but it's not true. But like, you grow up watching that over and over and over again, and then you get this warped sense of reality. That's what love actually is, and that's love. Love can be so many things, and intimacy can be so many things, and then there's all types of other things, like the fact that, like, the feminism and patriarchy are involved in that. You know, men think they own their partner, maybe not in those terms, but there is, this is my girlfriend, this is my woman. That's like, that's a whole thing that I don't get down with or agree with. Like, and it's some men, it's overt and they're very aggressive about it, but there's always a subtlety in our culture that, even, and it goes the other way too. And no matter what your partner is, there's this idea of ownership, which I think is unhealthy.
It's the caveman beating a woman over the head with a club and dragging her to his cave.
Yeah, it's an instinct that is obsolete, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's about all these concepts, and also it's really fun to have multiple sexual partners on top of all.
100% agree with you.
Now we get to the real.
Basically, we all just want to stick our dicks in as many holes.
Orgy.
I love that band.
That'd be harder to defend than loving orgy would be harder defend.
Would you be monogamous with that band?
Let's get 15-year-old George in here and find out. But we're going to take a real quick break before we get deeper into this conversation, and we will be back in two shakes of a cat's tail. a bee story.
Two shakes of your dong.
Ding, ding.
The sun is over my head. My polyamorous friend. He got me in a mess of trouble again. So, just when you think that's my point, I'm calling out from the inside. I never hurt anyone. I never listen at all.
All right, we're back from our little break getting beers. We are going to talk about...
Stop talking like that.
I'm doing the mumble rap thing. Oh, shit. Remember?
Are we going to throw a beat? Are you throwing a beat over that in post?
Yeah, of course.
Good. Oh, shit.
You're going to add a beat in post?
Yeah, of course.
All right.
I got the beat in my head. I know what I'm doing. I'm like a human atomic clock. Like that guy from Strapping Young Lad.
I don't get that reference at all, but okay.
That's your new rap name. Atomic Clock.
Oh, Man Clock. So yeah, we're going to be talking about non-monogamy and how everybody obviously wants to be with me since I'm an atomic clock.
Oh yeah.
So.
Got that mad fuck rhythm.
That's fucking right.
That's what you're known for. Been on the streets.
Very consistent.
Yeah. Like a Napalm Death song. Just nothing but blast beats the whole.
Atomic clock in the streets, a metronome in the sheets.
One, two, one. I also say that while I'm going in, out, in, out.
Something that should be very sexy. You just turn it.
Let it sit.
Out. And how does this feel?
Am I doing good? Is this good? Just direct eye contact.
Do you want to listen to my mixtape?
So yeah, we are going to be talking about non-monogamy. So, John, we already kind of went in over why you are a fan, or why you don't like the social constructs of monogamy.
Yeah, you keep saying like I have an affinity for it and I'm a fan of it. No, it's a big part of my life. It's not like a poster I have above my wall or my bed. I'm not a fan of this thing. It's something that I've strived to achieve in my life for years.
Did you like the Facebook page?
Through a lot of trial and error, a lot of mistakes, a lot of miscommunications, to the point where I've learned enough about myself that I know that this is a part of my life. This is an important part of my life, part of my social life, my dating life, my love life. So I would say that I'm not just a fan of it. I guess I'll tell a story of something that happened semi-recently because I do date a lot. I'm not seeing anyone seriously right now, but this comes up. I try to have it come up pretty quickly. You know, if non-monogamy or polyamory or anything like this outside of the norms of monogamy. I've noticed it's just all about communication, and you have to just like be very open with it, because the last thing I want to do is like date somebody or sleep with somebody who thinks that they think one thing and I think a different thing, because I have done that before in the past, and that makes me feel off. That has made me feel awful, so I always try to avoid that. So this happened recently. I was very open with this woman about the way that I feel, and we went out, had a great time, and we ended up sleeping together. It was fun, and then she pretty much, I don't know, whatever, not too long after that, she said that she was looking for something more traditional, which is fine. That happens to me all the time. A lot of people aren't into it. And then this, the what I'm about to say has never happened to me before. She it was her birthday, and she decided to drunk text me at 2 a.m. and said that she liked me and it was nice. And then I was like, that's really cool. And then she started to attack me for being non-monogamous. Oh, she's like, fucking, I don't understand. This is bullshit. You just hop it on some hipster trend. She I remember that phrase specifically. Yeah. Some hipster trend. Oh, man. And so I just turned my, she was just going at it. She was just laying into me drunk at 2 a.m. And she, you know, I don't know if she felt rejected or whatever. Like, why wouldn't I want to just be with her? Some people take it personally, yeah. Which is never, it's not ever meant to be personal. Yeah. So I just turned my phone off, and then I woke back up like 4 or 5 in the morning, and she had sent me an apology text after a few hours of sobering up, and I just sent her back, hey, would you mind just deleting my number? And that's the last time I ever talked to her again. But like, there's a lot of people who just like can't wrap their heads around it, mm-hmm. The idea of being with multiple people. There's people who, like, I just, that particular woman took it personally. Mm-hmm. And she was really great, and she was a really cool person. I would like to have gotten to know her more, but like, it's a non-starter if someone needs to be in a traditional relationship, and I can't. I've tried it. I've been married. I've been in monogamous relationships, and I just they bore me, and I don't think they're natural. But a lot of people seem to like.
So, like, how do you usually, when you say being with multiple people, is it like purely? Is it a thing where it's all purely sex? Is there some romance and then sex involved in all of them? Or is it like a split sometimes?
Yeah, it's a very go with the flow kind of thing. And all the things you just said can be a possibility. I'm never opposed to a romantic relationship. Some women are, you know, there are people out there who just want more of a sexual friendship thing, and that yeah. happens. And I'm also not opposed to like a committed relationship with like a person. And then there's other things beyond that. Like in my personal situations, I've often had like a primary partner, mm-hmm. and then exterior partners beyond that. All those things happen, and it just, they all kind of develop over whatever we are feeling towards each other or whatever we kind of want. But the point is, I never go into any dates with any expectations, sexual, romantic, or otherwise. Right. It's just like,
yeah.
you know, this is me. It's a fun time.
Yeah.
But it does seem like that some people, like, we made the joke before we took the break about like, oh, you just want to fuck everybody, and that's not remotely it. It is definitely a benefit.
Yeah, yeah. Fucking is good.
Sex is wonderful, and especially when it's done with open and communications and that kind of thing. But like, yeah, that has nothing to do with it. I mean, to say it has nothing to do with it is disingenuous, but that has little to do with it. It's just more about like, I honestly think that it's an insane idea that people think they can only love one person. Like, everyone's been in a relationship but had feelings for another person, mm-hmm. an ex or a friend, or you've been attracted to another person. But the thing is, though, as humans, we are taught to absolutely deny that. And I think that leads to a lot of people getting these long-term monogamous relationships. Yeah. And it leads to a lot of animosity towards your partner because you're literally fighting your own instincts to be with this person. And you know, I think it's, in the long term, unhealthy. I think it can be a shock in the short term, like in that situation I just described, that story I just told. Like, that was a short-term thing that was unpleasant, but like, if I would have dated that girl and that would have happened a year into it, that would have been a lot worse, and mm-hmm. or whatever. We've all been in relationships like that where, you know, there's jealousies and these kind of things, and not that there's never any jealousy in a non-monogamous situation. That doesn't just go away, but like, I think people force themselves to be monogamous, and I don't think it's healthy for a lot of us.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I last summer was my first time being single, like, where I was like, all right, I'm going to try and work on myself. I'm going to do, you know, like, I was clearly, something is not right in terms of my relationships, whatever's going on.
Great.
And I was looking towards more non-monogamous types of relationships, very new at it and taking the first mm-hmm. steps towards it. I found myself enjoying it more and more. I think, like, I look at myself and I'm like, I think it's probably better for me. And I do end up falling into relationships at times. Mm-hmm. Like, even in the past, like, I would just be like, oh, this is a relationship, and it becomes monogamous.
I mean, even when I started really trying to get into the idea of non-monogamy probably 4 or 5 years ago, I've always been into it. But when I started trying to practice it, and even then, 2 or 3 times I fell into long-term, mm-hmm. and when I'm saying long-term, it's like 6 months to a year, long-term monogamous relationships, like Yeah, that still happened despite my absolute intentions to not do that. It's just like it's very difficult to undo what you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? At any point in your life.
Good.
And it's hard to, because especially when you're rewiring yourself essentially, mm-hmm. and trying to figure
That's
out.
That's a really
like,
good way to put it.
Because
yeah.
you're like, in your mind, and even your partner might say it. It's like, well, if you love me, you know, you'll only want to be with me. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, well, that's not true because I've loved other girlfriends that I maybe do or don't love still.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and that I'm not with, and I still love you.
And love, like a lot of things, is a spectrum. Like, mm-hmm. it, like you know, there's.
I love Vin Diesel in movies, but I don't want to be in a relationship. Well, maybe.
Only want to watch Vin Diesel movies.
Mm. He's got six Fast and the Furious movies. It's seven.
All right.
Fast and the Furious, checked off.
He's in the last scene of the third one, so he's in all of them.
No, he's not in two. I'm a huge...
Vin Diesel isn't in two?
He isn't in the second
Paul Walker is in the second one.
Paul Walker's in all of them.
No, Paul Walker
was
not
in the third one.
Yes.
He's on the third one, but Tyrese is in the second one, but Vin Diesel isn't?
No. It was very obvious. They were trying to get Vin Diesel and Paul Walker for the second one, and they kind of shoehorn Tyrese in. Mm. Yes, I'm a very big fan of the Fast and the Furious films.
I just don't think I ever noticed that.
Yeah, I mean, you're also, the second one is the worst of the franchise. So
it's just like, here's a handful of these group of people and we're going to throw them at you. And then whatever that movie is.
They made quite the recovery because 2 and 3 are not good. And then...
I like 3.
Well, you're wrong. I've only ever watched it once, so I can't even say that.
It's the Karate Kid with cars.
I know, yeah. Oh, I remember the redneck dude and with the tires and the guy had the Incredible Hulk Scion or whatever it was.
Hell yeah.
That's
mean,
like
you
all
mean Lil Bow Wow?
Is that Lil Bow Wow?
Yes, Lil Bow Wow.
Oh shit. Okay, I'm definitely gonna rewatch that movie. But yeah, 4, 5, 6. I haven't seen the newest one, but I've liked all of those.
Newest
movies.
Ones
they're totally good action movies.
Yeah, they're fucking awesome. Just like Non Monogamy.
Yeah.
Because
I like other action movies, and I watch other action movies too.
You tell me I'm not allowed to watch this. I like Vin Diesel.
I
want to
watch the Bourne movies too, Vin. You know, they're all great. Even the Jeremy Renner one is dope.
It's okay.
No, fuck off.
No, baby, don't leave me. She's like Fast and the Furious 3 to me. You're Fast and the Furious 1.
I appreciate it, but it's just not as good. I still love you, though.
No, like, I think what it is, like, people get afraid of what it's the jealousy thing, like you said. Mm-hmm. People and relationship, it's a two-way street, the love thing, and it's like, people are afraid that if you're mad at them, their feelings aren't done with you yet. If you're mad at them, you're going to leave, and then they don't get to enjoy the fruits of your relationship anymore. And I think that's where the biggest thing comes. If it's a mutual like splitting of ways for me, like then it's like kind of cool. But it's always like when I always feel like this intense guilt, like when a relationship ends and a person mm-hmm. still wants it to continue. You know, I mean, like, eventually they get over it. I get over it. You forget about it.
That's just called empathy. I think that might be like a different thing. Like, I just think that we're all raised to have this idea. We all have, you know, parents. Some of them are married. Some of them are not, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that we all just have this idea that's really I remember being in high school and being in monogamous relationships and not liking a lot of the monogamous part, but I didn't know. Like, I wasn't aware until I was in my late 20s that there was even another option.
Yeah.
Like, there was another concept out there. So I just think that we're bred into it, not in, like a lot of, like, religion. A lot of people believe in religion because that's what they were raised to believe, not because that's what they actually have ever mm-hmm. thought. I mean, I think...
Very few people go out and choose Catholicism.
I think monogamy is similar in that that's what we're raised with, and that's what that's what we know. And so... the idea of like you the wording you said was perfect. You said it, when you're trying to rewire yourself, it can be very difficult to do that. And like even if you know how many of us know people who are raised Catholic or Jewish or whatever and don't practice or are atheists, but still have all of the guilt left over.
Yeah, I was going to say I have all of that.
It is very similar because it's almost impossible to get that out of your DNA, to get it out of your person.
Well, and that guilt leads into me trying to, like, sleeping around and like basically slut shaming myself, yeah. or you know, or
there's all kinds of different nuances to anyone's individual experiences, and it all plays into how we live our lives. But like romantically, it's very difficult to it is still not part of the mainstream, non-monogamy or polyamory. It's mm-hmm. still very much misunderstood, mm-hmm. And it's not easy. It's not easy to, number one, to find other people that are like-minded, because as of right now, you're really narrowing things down. And I can't tell you how many times I've been dating someone casually or things are going really mm-hmm. well, but they're also dating other people casually because they're not necessarily non-monogamous, but they're not being serious, so they're just dating. And I don't know how many times I've lost like a really cool person that I would like to get to know more, but like they find a boyfriend. Like yeah. It's like, you didn't have a boyfriend 2 weeks ago,
yeah.
and now you just have this relationship. That's literally insane to me,
mm-hmm.
that people do that. They're like, well, because people want a relationship so bad. We're taught to want a relationship so mm-hmm. bad. And people rush into them, and I've been guilty of this I don't know how many times, rushing into a relationship because you have a connection with a person, and we want that so bad yeah. that we don't care about the disaster that's waiting for us 6 months, 18 months down the road. It's yeah. like, and we've all made that mistake.
I mean, I fall for that warm, fuzzy feeling that I see in movies and hear in music
for
all the time.
For sure, we all do.
And it's a really comforting feeling. Like, I love it.
And if you date several people, you can have that over and over
yeah.
again. Like, the honeymoon phase is amazing when you're dating somebody, but like many of us mistake that for more than what it actually mm-hmm, is.
Right.
That we don't know this person well, but you can hit it off with somebody and just like have all these connections, and like then the physical part like clicks in, and then you can have these feelings like, this is the person for me, and I can't wait to spend so much time with this person. And then you do, and then reality sets in how much ever time later, and then, oh my God, this isn't what I wanted it to be, because yeah. that feeling goes away. It's just like drugs.
And I think where the test is comes like when you do start having problems, because you're going to have problems no matter who it is. And if you are able to communicate with each other your feelings and are able to talk to each other in like a manner that's adult and mature and like, not fly off the handle, like that's where it really sets in. And I've so many past relationships where you think just because you got in that relationship with them that you have to stick with this forever, and mm-hmm. you end up staying in it for so much longer than you need to be.
Wasn't that a Louis C.K. bit where he's like, he's in a relationship and he's like, well, I can't leave, we're dating. And he's like, well, then now we're engaged. He's like, well, I can't leave, I'm engaged. It's like, yeah, you can't. You can leave at any time.
With his like, kids, he's like, I can't leave now, I'm married. Then like his kids like, fuck, I could have left.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're very right about what you just said, Devin. Like the arguing and how you deal with adversity, that word I'm trying to say.
Adversary.
Thank you. Adversity. How you deal with adversity in a relationship or any situation is the true mark of what is actually there. But with non-monogamy and just casual dating, like, some people aren't ever going to be fulfilled by one person. Like, I'm not saying I'm that person. I haven't made that discovery about myself yet. But there's certain people that like that they need several partners just to fulfill this part of the philosophical side, their maybe their kink side, maybe their intellectual side, and not. It's a lot to ask of one human
mm-hmm.
to fulfill everything
yeah.
that we need out of a partner. It is almost impossible to find that, and so there's that aspect. And again, I just keep going back to the thing that I think it's very natural to want to be with more than one person, to love more than one person.
I've walked in, like I used to say this all the time. Every time I would go into the Steel Yard Target, I'd fall in love. Like when I was single, I'd see somebody.
Dude, I get it too. Like I go to the bar and I just like make a life in my brain, like girl across the bar,
right.
Like you're nothing's gonna fucking happen. She probably doesn't. For all I know, she's mute.
That would be the deal breaker. She's mute.
If she can't do karaoke, it's a done. We're done.
All right. Well, she can sign it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
That's my karaoke.
For all the listeners, George was doing sign language karaoke.
Yes.
Great for a podcast.
He definitely moved his hand. He was doing an act out, we call in the business. Since we're on the radio, essentially, really crushed.
I was a Daniel Day-Lewis of fake karaoke sign language.
There was a lot of sign language N-words, I'm just saying.
That's true.
Whoa.
You know me.
Yeah, I'm just saying. George, knock it off.
It's Sorry.
Did you put the hard R on the silent?
Yes, I did. I did the vinegar. Sorry, vinegar. Devin, have you ever had a non-monogamous or any sort of like casual dating? Were you a little slut bully?
I have never been in that scenario. I've had ex-girlfriends where like it's been mentioned where like she brings it up because I was too chicken shit. And where she's like, I would probably have a threesome with you or something like that, but you have to come with me. Mm-hmm. Like you can't come with the other chick. You have to come with me. And
I've actually heard that. That's not necessarily non-monogamy, but okay.
Yeah, exactly.
That's just a relationship where you have sex with somebody.
Exactly.
Oh yeah. I actually had a previous partner who said the same thing that we were.
That's like every single one of my partners
planning a partner or planning a threesome. And she's like, "But you have to come with me." I'm like, "I guess I don't even." Yeah. That's such a. I guess I get it. I don't know. It's an interesting stipulation.
It is like. I mean, like. Why do you draw the line there? Like, that means that much more if a white milky liquid comes out of my dick somewhere else and then you don't have to clean it up. I feel like that's doing you a favor.
Spider webs are just flying everywhere, but only on her face or wherever.
So are you saying that you've never been non-monogamous, but you have wanted to be? I've been non-monogamous
in the sense of just being, like, single and seeing,
but that's not what we're talking about. We've all dated casually, but when I'm talking about non-monogamy, I'm talking about you have a partner and then you're not monogamous with that partner.
So that's there's one person who's your main person,
for the sake of this discussion,
like an open relationship.
Like, okay. There's no right or wrong way to. Well, there's definitely wrong ways to do it, but there's no one right way to do it. Mm-hmm. But okay. For the sake of this discussion,
yeah.
Let's say that you do have a primary partner, you have someone you're committed to, but you're also not monogamous and dating outside of that relationship, and you have wanted to do that. Or you, but you just haven't ever.
I mean, it's there. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I easily can fall in love, and I like that feeling. And I'm attracted to people. Like, actually, just the other day at work, I work with my girlfriend as well.
You,
it's fun.
Hi, Claire. I love you.
But so we work right across the street from an LA Fitness, and basically, there's just ridiculously toned bodies walking through our store all the time, all day long. And so the other day she caught me checking some yoga pants out or something. Mm-hmm. And she's like,
you were trying them on? And she was like, what is
this? Yeah, she caught me in the bathroom trying on some women's yoga pants.
Your dick's sporting goods.
I was dumb. I like can't even help it. I'm attracted and I can appreciate like good looking bodies and stuff, in my opinion. And so like she's talking to me, and this is so dumb, like I'm like literally talking and somebody's walking past and I'm like in the middle of a conversation talking and turning my head, and I think I did it like 3 times, like not even realizing it. And she got upset about that because she was feeling self-conscious on that particular day, and I understand. And But I told her too, like, I was like, you're going to tell me you don't look at all the muscle hunks walking through. And she's like, yeah, I could appreciate that. I appreciate a good looking body too. And so we kind of came to this understanding, like, yeah, we're going to be attracted to other people. And, I've always like thought about that, and I just want it to be in a situation where it would be like, we'd be both be okay with it and be able to control our jealousy. In that sense, or
if you mean control your jealousy, if things went further beyond just looking, if there was actual actions taken, like
if it became
dates
like
or
an
whatever
open relationship, yeah. And
how do you think you could personally handle that?
I feel like I could if you have a level of trust that is that you know, which is hard to have when you come from a life of like divorced parents and other relationships where. People have cheated on you. It's hard to before you were okay with it, it's hard to keep up that trust, but I don't know, I feel like with something strong that it should be doable for
it's me. Interesting because I actually have a different perspective because I come from divorced parents. My father cheated on my mother a lot, and I've been in relationships where I've been cheated on, and one time I cheated on a partner, which actually made me feel worse than being cheated on. And all of that has led me to stronger believe that we are not meant to be with one person. So it's not, I mean, trust is everything. Trust is very, very much important. But like, as far as like the jealousy factor, like, all that behavior has just beat it into my head that it's very natural to want to sleep with other people. And there's always a hypocrisy because I'm not above jealousy. I'm not some like amazing transcendent person. Like if my partner is out on a date with somebody and like I don't have anything to do that night, like they can be jealous, like, jealous or lonely or whatever, or be sad. That's there's, I'm not above that, but like, yeah, so you're saying that you have trust issues because of your past. We have a similar past, probably.
Yeah.
And I've taken that same idea and turned it into how I feel about non-monogamy because I don't want to have a partner who cheats on me. I don't want to have a partner. I don't want to cheat on a partner. I don't want to be a divorced couple who just was fucking around because monogamy is terrible and we're bored with each other sexually.
Yeah.
So all of those same experiences has actually led me to where I am now. They've all influenced me to believe this and insist upon it in my romantic life.
So like, do you want to, like, if your significant other is going on a date or going out to do something, do you want to know details? Do you want to know when she's going out on dates? Do you want to know what she's doing at any given time? Do you want her to tell you about her encounters, or
I don't. The way that I've always done it, and the way that I've done it with my partners, is that if I ask a question, then I want an honest answer. But like, I don't need reported to.
Okay. Yeah.
If I'm like, hey, what are you doing tonight? And she was like, oh, I'm going out with my friends, but she actually had a date. That would upset me. But if she went out on a date and didn't tell me, and I didn't ask, I don't give a shit.
Don't care.
Okay. Yeah. So that's always been like, it's not quite a don't ask, don't tell. It's just like, I don't need the details. But if I'm like, hey, what are you doing tonight? And she was like, oh, I'm actually going with this guy. I'm like, oh, cool. That's all. I don't need any more. Because like, the trust for me is because I'm, you know, as men or whatever, or as humans, we're protective of the people that we care. And I think men definitely are overly protective. I'm also a father of daughters. Like, I don't trust anybody ever, especially when it comes to men and women being alone. But like, where the trust comes for me is that I trust my partner to not go out with a piece of shit person where some horrible situation could arrive. So it's not my I think the trust you're referring to is the trust between two people and like what they're, you know, and being honest with each other. My trust goes with like, I trust you to pick a suitable person that is going to respect you, and that's where my trust is. If I have trust issues, it's with that. And it's not even the trust thing, it's just that it, regardless of anyone's judgment, like, no women try to get sexually assaulted. Like, as far as like the worst case, no women try to go out with somebody who is an abuser or a predator of some kind. But like, that's the thing. The trust comes from like, I trust you to be make a good judgment call and to understand what's going on. And so that's the only problem that I actually have anymore is I just don't trust men ever. Right. Yeah, it's not even a monogamous or non-monogamous thing. I don't trust anybody fucking ever.
I had a friend who was just on a local radio show, Rover's Morning Glory, and she, it was like a hookup kind of thing. It was like a contest kind of thing, like basically men call in and be like, who wants to date me kind of thing. And
that
she
sounds
was
really aggressive.
They gave her four locos at 7 a.m. Really, there was a bottle of vodka. It was really fucking skeevy.
That's not okay.
And I'm just
that's
like,
okay.
And they called her boobs creamers. And it was just like this whole thing.
Oh,
it was just like the worst.
Over the top shock jock bullshit.
Yeah.
Kind
and
of
it's
stuff.
Just like, it's really fucking gross. And
because,
like,
you know, women should be given alcohol so their inhibitions are lower.
They asked her to lift up her skirt. Like the whole thing. Like, I'm just like,
this is the same station that runs Rover Fest in Cleveland every year. And they totally.
It's almost always like Mudvayne headline.
They totally like exploited the like Ariel Castro victims. I heard that one year. Like,
but basically, Rover's just a fucking garbage, gross radio show.
I hate it.
But I mean, like, it's just like it wasn't jealous. I was just really angry, and it kind of felt like jealousy
in that
sense. And it's like getting those wires crossed, where I'm like, I'm trying to become less of a jealous person. I mean, it's a natural thing. I get it.
Yeah.
And you know, it's something I've been working on. But I like the honesty of of being open in an open relationship or whatever it might be, just from the just talking about just bluntly, you know, because I came from a family who just didn't talk about things.
Yeah.
It was just push it down, you know, shit happened and just don't say anything. And I'm trying to work out of that. And I feel like
it's a noble goal.
Yeah. And I feel like being at least casual or at least non-monogamous as of right now, is really helping me get out of that. And I feel like it is pretty helpful for a lot more people than just me, I'm sure. You know, like...
Well, yeah, I mean... people are repressed in any number of ways, and emotionally and sexually are at the top of that list. Mm-hmm. And I think non-monogamy forces people into looking at love a different way, looking at physicality a different way. We've already made a couple of jokes about like slut shaming, and women get slut shamed all the time for anything they do, but like non-monogamous people get slut shamed for like because people just are uncomfortable with it. Sex is still, as much as it's thrown in our face, it's still considered like a taboo thing, especially when you're trying to if you are actively sleeping with more than one person, like people will still judge you, and it speaks to their experience, and there's often a religious aspect to it. There's often just like religious or just traditional aspect to it because they were raised a certain way, a similar way that most of us were raised. Because we're told that that's not normal. We're told that sex is this sacred thing that you do with one person, regardless of religion or not. We're all kind of have been told that at some point, and it's all not true. But if you're told it enough times and you grow up and you see someone doing something different, you'll think it's gross or you'll think it's indecent or whatever. And it's none of those things, but there's plenty of people, like you said, like if you can kind of get over the tradition of it, it can help you emotionally, it can help you intellectually, it can definitely help you like with a sexual awakening. Yeah, I think it helps on a lot of different levels, and you can like you said, you took time off from looking for something monogamous to find yourself, which I think is a good thing. I think most people should do that if they already haven't. Like, and dating, I think dating other people is a good way to look at yourself. You get to learn what you like. You get to learn what you also learn what you're doing wrong or what you're doing right. Mm-hmm. So learn something good about yourself. Learn something bad about yourself, which is just as valuable. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of positives can come out of being non-monogamous, or at the very least being casual. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people date casually, then fall back into monogamy at some point, and that's obviously their choice or their journey. But like, I think it's very important to kind of like explore yourself and what you want emotionally and physically, and just because like I said, we're told what we want from a partner, but that's all bullshit. So it takes a lot of time and self discovery to find out what it is we actually want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found it to be very helpful. Just in terms of finding myself, being on my into the wild.
Yeah.
Going to bars at Lakewood and totally. OKCupid is my into the wild. Except I probably won't die. I might die at the end. I don't know. Spoilers, I guess.
The Cleveland dating pool is your Walden Pond. All right.
At the end of the night, you just end up eating bad mushrooms in a van somewhere.
I mean, that was last summer. So.
You ate bad mushrooms?
Not bad mushrooms. I had really good mushrooms, and then mixed them with cocaine.
Oh. So you made a bad... Just don't blame the mushrooms. You made a bad choice.
Blame yourself. Yeah. That's the lesson.
Yeah. Find yourself, blame yourself.
I don't know. For me to...
But you're currently in a monogamous relationship, yeah?
I'm currently in a
monogamous relationship. And how long has that been happening?
It's been happening for... I think it's been about 9 months now.
Mm-hmm.
And
how long did you date before it was like... official?
Probably before people knew about it, it was kind of like undercover. We were kind of like hanging out here and there for maybe like 2 months.
3 days.
Yeah.
So you guys have been seeing each other for a better part of a year.
And we've worked together a year before that even.
Okay, so there was a friendship, then a mild romantic, and then it's like, oh, now we're together.
Yeah.
So it was a pretty slow progression.
It was probably the slowest.
Especially in 2017 standards, exactly. Very slow progression.
And it needed to be that way because she had moved here from Wisconsin with her son and child's father, and they were still together at the mm-hmm. time, not married. So it was kind of a friendship at first for a while, but there was always like, felt like there was an instant connection, and it's the slowest I've ever gotten into a relationship, I think, and it's definitely been my best relationship thus far. And hopefully thus far for good. Claire, hi.
Inspiration date,
but I don't know. I think there is something to be said about being attracted to other people. Like, I mean, she was in a relationship when she was attracted to me. She kissed me first. And
when she was still with the other person?
They were technically together, but they had been out of love for years. And she had been putting in effort and wasn't really getting anything, and basically was ready to get out. Mm-hmm. And
I hope that was public knowledge.
It is now.
I did talk on the Mike Calhoun episode. I was like, yeah, I'm basically cucking my girlfriend's family. So this is a little more respectful than that, I guess. It's been my best relationship thus far. I think it's been clear to both of us that we've both talked about, like, I've been like a little bit more sexually explorative than she has mm-hmm. in her life, and she thinks she's like become awakened to something, and like I think there's ideas in her head about she's got the fever. That's what I'm trying to say. I think there's inkling of thought in her head. I feel that she would like to explore other people mm-hmm. sometimes, and that's something she wants to do. I've always been attracted to a bunch of people.
Regardless of anything that there's ever any follow through, I think only positives can come out of talking about it. Regardless of whatever comes out of it, I think discussions are always helpful. Finding things that you enjoy sexually in just between the two of you, or outside of the two of you, or incorporating other things into whatever it is that you do. I'm assuming you use a penis. Currently.
Yes.
He's completely cucked. He only uses strap-ons right now.
No, I think that's great. I'm assuming, just from the little information you told me, she was in a marriage for years, so she didn't have any...
Well, not married, but basically, yeah.
She was in a long-term relationship with her child's father, baby daddy, mm-hmm. and then there was nothing outside of that relationship, and is she younger, or is it...
She's a couple years older than me.
Okay, but I'm just saying that she didn't have a ton of partners during that time. And now she wants to fuck.
And now she wants to fuck the world. Yeah, Claire, my girlfriend likes to fuck.
Puck rock. Fuck rock.
That's a story that's been told a bunch of times. Like, and it's a very natural thing.
Right.
Tale as old as time. Disney's going to be making the new one.
Time. The next Disney princess is going to be a divorced woman who just wants to fuck all the elves.
Tale as old as time.
It's the most progressive Disney movie I've ever seen.
Dick goes into giant, or maybe buttholes.
Anyway.
You have a nice voice, Devin.
Thank you.
We usually sing on this podcast. We haven't sung yet.
It was the first song then. But no, I don't know. I'm enjoying her at the moment. I've enjoyed looking
at
other people.
Enjoying her at the moment.
fucking ravaging her.
Sorry, Claire. I'm so sorry. Usually I'm the one who makes
these
jokes.
She's going to love this one.
Claire, you seem lovely.
No, the other day I got to tell the story. We were at XYZ having a couple of drinks, just hanging out. And she told me my signature was shitty, and hers was like so nice and neat. She's like, if I were you, I would write your signature like this, and showed me like a really cool, neat way to write my signature. I was like, fuck you. My signature's fine. And she's like, how would you write my signature? So I started writing her name with a C, and then I continued to write in cursive UNT afterward. And she loved it.
Ooh, edgy.
She loved it. I called my girlfriend a cunt, and so I can pretty much, I have a
You can do whatever you want
anything.
Now.
Yeah, that's like the...
You're like non-monogamous
now. It's like the holy grail.
You're like non-monogamous, but with words.
I don't usually.
No one knows what that
I don't meant. Know what that
one time I called my sister a cunt in front of my mother, and my mother got really upset.
Never said cunt in front of my mom.
To be preferred or expected.
I should.
Yeah, try.
I'm still afraid of her to listen to this podcast. I told that story.
What's your mom's name?
She keeps asking. Jody.
Jody Dunn?
Jody Kristoff.
Kristoff?
Yes.
Right, I'll get all of her.
Yeah, we'll tag her in all the posts.
Is that you?
Very professional.
God damn it, Devin.
I have a situation.
I'm still worried. Like I used to, when I was doing stand-up, I used to have a joke about how I had a really bad experience with a threesome with a couple who did not tell me they were a couple. It was mostly just a girl I was basically planning on hooking up with.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, oh yeah, my husband's here too. Hope that's okay. I'm like, I don't know. What? Like, I'm already in the house. And like, it's perfectly fine. But if you would have said something.
Yeah, that's the lack of communication on her part.
And all it's right. Just like this whole story of how it accidentally, essentially turned into a threesome.
Yeah.
And my mom was there when I was telling the story, because I'm like, I still got to work the story out.
Yeah.
And it's like this empty room. It's just like four comics and my mom. And she's never seen me do stand-up again. And that was like right when I first started. So so I'm very worried about her hearing this podcast.
Well, just as a stand-up advice, it's difficult as a beginning stand-up just to go in and tell a story. It's a very different kind of, you just write some jokes.
Well, yeah, honestly, that's one of my better jokes, which is unfortunate. But
storytelling is very difficult at open mic.
Yes.
That's also an episode of Louie. Are you just...
That's true. I'm basically just ripping off Louie at this point.
Yeah,
I need to start. I just need to start a TV series where I just walk down the street sad.
Start a TV series where you just jerk off in front of women who aren't willing to watch you. Yeah, that's an awkward situation that could have easily been
avoided. I have it on video somewhere. It's mostly just a video of my crotch because I didn't line it up right. But
I thought you meant of the threesome.
I probably do somewhere, too. There's probably pictures, honestly.
So you picked up a woman at a bar and you went back to her place?
No, it was on a website called FetLife.
Oh, you were on okay, but you met her publicly?
No, I met her, I met her on FetLife.
Okay.
And then I met at her house.
Oh, she's had you come up right over to her house.
After a few days of conversation.
I understand.
Yeah.
But then she just never at all mentioned that the husband was there and it would be joining.
Not one word. Her FetLife said single, the whole thing.
Oh, so she just lied.
Yeah. No, it was just like, not even lack of communication.
Okay, that's the opposite of what I'm into.
I see her around town every once in a while, or her husband, and it's just really weird.
I forgot that I had a FetLife profile.
It's very easy to forget you have one.
It's a terrible website. It's fine, but like, it's not, considering how like good a lot of other dating websites, and I know it's not a dating website, but like, they could have a similar setup to like an OkCupid or whatever, and
a lot of people in that community are just like, hey, have you seen Invader Zim? I'm like, yeah, it's not 2001 anymore, guys. Like, I don't go to Hot Topic anymore. Like, you're 35, fucking get over it. Like, FetLife kind of sucks, but
I didn't know it was such an Invader Zim crowd.
That's a generalization. It's like also those people. It's like when you talk about nerds, it's like, yeah, I've seen Firefly, get over it. Like,
yeah.
I think they were just talking about their penis at that point.
You'd think that
penis name, yeah,
but. FetLife.
It's not a bad name for a penis. Firefly?
Oh, no, I was saying Invader Zim.
Oh.
That's a good one. I like that
one. Well, that makes it sound like you weren't welcome.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
That's actually...
Invader Zim? I barely know her Zim.
All right, well, let's wrap this episode up. John's got to get going to Michigan.
Yeah, I got a gig in a bar you've never heard of in Saginaw.
Ooh.
Not bragging.
That's a transition into plugs, since that's...
Yeah, let's do the
plug. John, you got any plugs? This will come out.
When's this coming out?
Tonight or tomorrow?
Oh. Well, I'm on tour currently, but I'm leaving Ohio, so that doesn't really help.
We got listeners in other states.
I'll be back in Columbus the 18th at Rehab Tavern.
There you go.
I'll plug two things. I'll plug three things. My social media presence, John Dick Winters. I'm John Dick Winters on everything. I also run a really great comedy festival in Pittsburgh called Burning Bridges Festival. Look that up. And we just had our second year. It was pretty amazing. And the thing I most want to plug is I'm starting my own podcast with my daughters.
Oh,
I have identical twin daughters that are 14 years old. We have a podcast we've been working on called Teenage Wasteland. And it's a podcast where we have candid conversations about like adult topics, but with from a teenage perspective.
Okay.
And so it's about things that either parents don't like to talk to their kids about, like the cliched stuff like puberty and sex, or it's about things that parents don't even think about talking to their kids about, like overpopulation and how religion is made up and doesn't matter.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, things like that. It's so it comes out of like just having dinner with them at their house and just like having these amazing conversations from like for the past couple of years. I'm like, I think other people would.
I
like
wish
to
my
do
parents
this.
Talked to me like a human being, so I didn't just get frustrated at
that's
the table.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like I've always just tried to, and their mother too, and that's just me. We've always just talked to our kids like they're people, like humans. And people have that thing about like the sex talk. Well, my parents never had the sex talk. There is no sex talk. It's something you talk about for years.
Yeah.
You like you bring it up and you keep bringing it up. You bring up puberty and periods and sex and all this stuff over years. There's no one big talk. It's insane. And another thing, another misconception that society puts on it's just like, you know, love and monogamy. There's no one way to like, you don't just sit down and tell your kids everything about the world and one get it out of the way in one afternoon. Actually, you just keep doing it over and over again. But yeah, that's what the podcast is. That'll be launched hopefully in September.
Awesome.
I'm definitely listening to that. That sounds great.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
You got anything, Devin?
Basically, I think there's just, I'm going to be working tech for Sad Boys and,
nice.
Let the Hate Flow Through You is actually doing their first live show up in, Kalamazoo, Michigan at Shakespeare's, I believe on September 9th.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that's the right date. I'm pretty sure it is.
Something like that. I know a little bit.
Yeah. I'll be up there working tech, doing Sad Boys' second out-of-state show and their first. So
nice.
Check that out if you're in Kalamazoo, Michigan, or anywhere.
We'll find out if we have any Kalamazoo fans, apparently.
Hell yeah.
Well, I just have the drive-in. It's August 12th. We're showing Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. Some cool trailers. I've been putting everything together right now. I got some cool commercials and trailers and stuff lined up for everybody. If you're listening to this and actually do come, bring your own chair. People always you can do that. Like people always forget that they're just sitting on hard like aluminum chairs and like everyone's just uncomfortable. I'm like, well, yeah, we have them here, but you could just bring your own. Like
with a cup holder.
Yeah, just don't be a dick. Don't bring like a fucking pup tent, but like you know like. Bring a chair.
Or sit up in the back if you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want. If you want to fucking camp out in the apartment above Mayhall's. Like
a goddamn couch up the stairs if you have to.
Yeah. Dummies.
Probably not.
There used to be a couch up there, and that was awesome. But then everybody would fight over it. And by everybody, I mean all four of my friends who would show up. We got that. Follow us on iTunes, Instagram, all that stuff. SecondShotPod@gmail.com if you want to be on the show. Give us a topic. I love a lot of things. I hate a lot of things. Devin goes either way. Devin's a bi ideal. I don't know.
I haven't gotten to defend something I like.
Yeah, we got to. Yeah, we got. Really. If you don't like Kanye but like hip hop, let's find somebody. I want to fucking do this Kanye episode.
Yeah, we're gonna.
And then we're gonna be doing Star Wars.
Somebody who doesn't like Kanye but likes hip hop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because it's so easy to not like Kanye.
Yeah, but
if you don't like hip hop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But because
yeah.
I love Kanye, Devin loves Kanye, maybe more than me. Well, definitely more.
Yeah,
than me.
I'm like a ridiculous fan. not so much of his personal choices at this point, but I think he's going through shit.
I also want to find someone who likes King Kong, Peter Jackson's King Kong, mostly because I just feel like rewatching that movie, and I don't like that movie.
You know, you could just watch it, right?
I know, but I want to find excuses. Like I'm using this podcast as an excuse to do things.
Okay,
at this point.
That's a good point. Just like capitalize on. Laziness.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or boredom.
Like
boredom.
Or I could just rewatch Breaking Bad again. So, like, help me out. We will be back next week. I can't remember who's next week, but we'll find out.
Are we doing the Simpsons one next week?
Oh, yes. I believe it's Michelle Brittany with later season Simpsons episodes. So this will be a fun episode because we'll see. If you guys don't know my feelings on the Simpsons... You'll find out.
I know them.
I don't.
I want to go you're a white guy with comic book posters on your wall. I want to go with that you like them.
I'm also a white guy with Simpsons tattoos.
I know, but I wanted to make one of the comic book posters.
The Iron Man 2 one isn't mine because I'm like, better than Iron Man 2.
I get it. You worked in the movie theater.
I did, actually.
Yeah, I know. Like, I've never met you before, but I knew that immediately.
You haven't seen my room then. All right. We will be back next week.
We will be back next week. Thank you, John, for coming on.
Thank you,
thanks
John.
For making this work, guys. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. I'm glad we were able to work it out.
Okay, bye.
Peace.
That was so abrupt. And so because you had to be a big shot, did you? You had to open up your mouth. You had to be a big shot, did you? All your friends were so knocked down. You had to have the last word last night to know what everything.
How you doing, Devin?
I'm great.
Ooh, you sound like a Muppet.
I'm a Muppet. This is what Muppets talk like, man. I'm the one guy from the band.
Oh, Dr. Teeth?
Maybe.
That's his name.
I'm Dr. Teeth. Yeah. You know why they call me Dr. Teeth?
Why?
It's my vagina.
Oh, you have vagina dentata?
Yeah, I'm a doctor. You thought I was a man, you sexist.
I mean, Dr. Teeth can go either way. We got a lady doctor coming in Doctor Who, so I mean, I know my doctors.
Yeah, but a lot of people are pissed, and I'm trying to end that.
Well, why are you assuming that on me? You're just putting that on me.
Well, you said
you were a doctor, and you're Dr. Teeth. I didn't say you were a man.
Maybe I'm just a little too sensitive.
Well, I know you're sensitive. You're one of those liberal white cucks.
I'm really sensitive, which is why it sucks that I have teeth in my vagina.
I'm sure it sucks. It's got to be scraping against it. It's like when you're sleeping, you're just grinding your teeth.
Nobody wins.
Just walking down the street, just grinding your vagina teeth.
Whenever I have a sex dream, I grind my vagina teeth together. Sometimes I get sugar daddy stuck in there.
Does it count as drooling at that point?
Yes.
If you're, like, really wet and it starts dripping?
Yes, that's what it is. It's drool.
I only know that because I make Lenny's drool.
I'm a mouth breather.
It's kind of queef.
Yeah. That's what we call it, a queef. I'm Dr. Queef.
Dr. Queef Teef.
That's my first name.
Dr. Tequeef.
Queef Latifah. No, I think that's a bit from Comedy Bang Bang Podcast.
I'm pretty sure it is, yes.
Queef,
I don't know.
Queef like the pussy fart is what they say.
Bone like that thing you get on ribs. Queef like a pussy fart.
Teeth like those bones in your mouth. We're getting ready for the Unbelievables podcast.
It's just warm up. What do you think of monogamy?
I think I hate it because it's not feminist and sex forward.
You don't think you don't like monogamy?
That's why I really disagree with the one segment on my show. That's why I had to quit.
Which one is that?
You know the one. It's like
on the Muppet Show.
It's like doo 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 doo. Monogamy. Doo 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 doo.
That's not a segment. That's a sketch.
We called them segments because we thought it was professional. It's professional for us. Don't degrade us. We're Muppets. We're people too.
No, you're Muppets. There's a difference. I mean, even Muppets make distinctions between people and Muppets.
Yeah, the bad ones do. The conservative Muppets.
Wait, are you a I can't tell if you're a racial purist or...
Oh, the conservative Muppets like Oscar the Grouch.
Oh, he's conservative? I mean, yeah. I can see that. Yeah, he's a get off my... He's a very Clint Eastwood type. Gran Torino-esque.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get off my garbage can. Even though, like, he is technically loitering at all times.
And Bert's a conservative, too.
I can see that.
But he's a down-low brother.
I mean, you could be conservative and gay.
Yeah. But he needs to let himself be free.
That's true. I mean, he's probably wrong. He's voting against his own interests. But,
yeah.
You know, I mean, sometimes money's more important than your sexual freedom.
He voted for Oscar, and you see what Oscar's doing.
Oh, he voted for... Oh, is Oscar your president in Muppet Land?
Yeah, make America...
Is that Muppet Land, or is it just
America
Sesame
grouchy
Street?
Again.
It's very grouchy right now.
It's what the G America stands
is
for.
Very grouchy. Yeah. I mean, the fact that you guys moved to HBO shows that you guys just care about money.
Yeah.
Well, it was good talking to you, Mr. Queef Teef.
Thank you. I'm not a mister, by the way.
I'm
See,
sorry,
I knew
I'm
it.
Sorry. You're right.
I knew it.
See, I am bigoted. I am a very bigoted... horrible cis white male.
I used to be a cis white Muppet, and then I had a sex change.
Oh, so you are you consider yourself trans? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, good for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm not that far off. I made a mistake in terms of my pronouns.
And that's what this is about: education, Sesame Street.
That's fine, but don't chastise me for my mistake. I'm just making a mistake.
See, I should come to you with open arms and just educate.
Well, I appreciate that, Mr. Queef Teef. Mrs. Queef Teef.
Thank you. That's a step in the right direction for all Muppet kind.
Yes. I hope one day you get to serve in the military.
I don't. I'm a musician.
That's true.
I'm a conscientious objector.
Oh, so you're like, and you're not like Tom Cruise in Born on the 4th of July, because he was...
I'm like Tom Cruise in... And that movie that you watched on your podcast, I'm a huge fan.
Edge of Tomorrow.
Edge of Tomorrow.
Yes,
yeah.
he's very quite good in that movie.
Maybe I'll be a hero one day.
You might. Do you have time travel abilities as a Muppet?
I do. I've not aged a year in 40 years.
I don't know if that's time travel. That just means you're immortal. Can you go back in time?
I can't.
Well, then you don't have time travel abilities.
I can. It's just forward and very slow.
Yes. Time is an unrelenting force. As we all know, it will destroy us all.
Yes.
Even the immortals. Even, or that you'll be floating in a black abyss forever.
Endlessly suffocating
because, I mean, you still need air.
Yeah. And that I need a hand up my ass.
Nightmare escape. So that would be a that would be a nightmare escape. Endlessly suffocating at the end of time.
I should probably go pick up my mother from work.
That sounds like that sounds like a very Muppet thing to do, is endlessly suffocating. All right. It was very nice talking to you.
You too.
I did not expect to have a Muppet on the show today. Thank you for coming.
No problem.
Do you have anything to plug?
I am coming.
No.
To a city near you to play my music.
All right.
But after I play music, I get very sexually aroused and have sex dreams, and it hurts so bad.
You gotta give the men who penetrate you a heads up. There are teeth inside of you, because you know I'm all for sex positivity and free love and stuff, man. But like, you gotta.
I'm actually a lesbian.
Communication is important. If you should listen to the podcast we just put out. It's important.
It is.
You just make sure you do that. But thank you for coming on,
no
Mrs.
Queef Teef. I really gotta go.
Go.
Bye.
Bye.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there. Yeah.